If you didn't bring your Bible, but you got your phone with you, and you have the Bible app there, please look it up. That'd be John chapter 12, and we're going to look at one verse to begin with today. This whole series is designed around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, discovering Christ in Christmas. John chapter number 12. By the way, it will be worth coming December 23rd in the evening just to hear Tracy Sleff sing with Pastor Chris. Just saying, it'd be worth it. That's the draw that night, all right? So we'll look forward to that. But John chapter 12, looking at verse number 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus again said, I am come a light into the world. Today we want for a little bit look at the subject matter that Jesus is a light in a dark place. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. Help us to be obedient to your word. Give us understanding of it and help us to have one, as your children, a deeper appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that know not Jesus, may they come to know him as Savior of their life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever experienced a time in which you were in total darkness? Again, not just being able to see a little light off in the distance, but I mean total darkness. Years ago, my wife and I, early years of our marriage, we went to the Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. And as they got us down into there, obviously lights are on to guide your path. Got to a certain point, it seemed like it was like in the middle of the cave, the guide, with advance notice, said, I'm going to turn off the lights. And I tell you what, it was very unnerving. It was very eerie to have total darkness. My wife was standing right beside me, and I could not even see her. It was total darkness. And when I think about that, I think about how the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a time of darkness. Darkness, it was a spiritual time in that regard, but also it was just physically dark. The shepherds, you recall, the angel of the Lord shone round about them. The wise men had seen the star in the east, so the Lord Jesus Christ was himself surrounded by light. And then as he began his public ministry, he made the profession. In fact, there are several of these in the Gospel of John, the I Ams of Jesus. And we discover in this passage of Scripture that Jesus said that I am come a light into the world. He said in another passage of Scripture that I am the light of the world. And so Jesus came as the light. While on earth, he then made this statement, speaking to his disciples then and then also to us now. He says that ye are the light of the world. Since Jesus has ascended back into heaven, he has given us then the responsibility to be light in a dark world. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ being the light, I want you to consider this at the outset of the message. Everybody in life experiences dark days. Everybody does. No one is excluded. Days when it seems like the clouds of trouble will never lift. Days of great darkness, if you would. But Jesus is the light in your dark days. And I want us to consider that this morning as we think about Jesus being a light in a dark place. Would you notice with me, first of all, this morning, that when surrounded by the darkness of disappointment, he, Jesus, encourages you. We find that the Bible says in Job chapter 30 and verse 26, "When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness." Maybe you can relate to that. That when I waited for light, I didn't get the light. What came was darkness. Job was looking at that, if you would, as a moment of disappointment. And the reality is that there are moments of disappointment in our life. It comes to us in different forms. And by the way, why are we disappointed? Because we had certain expectations, and those expectations were not met. And so we are disappointed. I think about how a group of people at five different GM plants recently got the news that their plants are shutting down. I think you would agree with me, it would be very unsettling to know that one day you have a job and the next day you do not. I'm sure at this time of year, those people that work at those plants are thinking about what's next for us. Sometimes you can experience work disappointments. Sometimes you can experience health disappointments. I was talking to one of the men of our church. He was now 83 years of age. And he was asked by his doctor, she said, "Are you depressed?" And he said this. He says, "Yes, I'm depressed." He says, "For 80 years of my life, I've been a picture of health. But for the last 3 years, everything has fallen apart." Maybe you can relate to that. You may not be 83 years of age, but you can think about how that you recently have just gone through some major health issues and things just are disappointing. It could be as well that you have experienced disappointing outcomes in your life. So the reality is that there is moments of disappointment in our life when those, if you would, those clouds of disappointment just surround our life. It just seems like it's one disappointment after another disappointment. But may I say that Jesus, the light of the world, has come to encourage you in your times of disappointment. For the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse number 18, Psalm 34 and verse 18, where the Bible says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Nothing like disappointment at times to break your heart. Nothing like some severe disappointment to really just tug at your heart. But the Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart. How does He encourage us in times of disappointment? Well, He encourages us with His presence. You know, many of you do, the familiar promise from Scripture where Jesus said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." In other words, He's giving us a promise that goes like this, that you never go through anything alone. When you have the Lord, even though you are hit with disappointment, you are never alone. He goes through those things and those times with you. So He guides you, He encourages you with His presence, and He also encourages you with His purpose. You got your Bible in hand there. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, would you? The Old Testament book of Jeremiah chapter 29. I want you to see one particular verse and see what this the Word of God says about the matter of God's purpose for our life. In Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11, He encourages and reminds us that He has purpose for us. Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What's He saying there? That God is going to work through your time of disappointment because He has a purpose in mind to give you thoughts of peace and to give you an expected end. Disappointment can be real in our life. But when it happens, the Lord is that light who encourages us in the moments of disappointment. Here's a second truth about the Lord Jesus, and that is when surrounded by the darkness of distress, He strengthens you. Distress, we could use another word for that. I'm a very familiar word to all of you, and that is the word stress. You ever been stressed out? You ever just been like stretched to the limit in your life? Well, the psalmist was, because he cried out this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Another way of saying that is that I cry desperately for help, but it still does not come. You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt just like the psalmist did there, where he says, "I cried for help, but it didn't come"? You're overloaded in life, but there is no help. And sometimes we can hit be surrounded by the darkness of distress and stress. It may be this morning that you are stressed out financially. Some people this time of year really get that way. The extra stress that comes from thinking about Christmas gifts. Boy, who do I buy for and who don't I buy for? As Pastor Chris said, you saw the hands of those who aren't going shopping? Anyway, but some people are just stressed out financially. You know the thing that's going on in our country right now with a lot of businesses increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Some of that is being forced upon businesses. Some of them are still not there yet. But the argument is being made that that is about what people need to be paid just to make ends meet. I don't know what you make. That's none of my business. But I will say this, that at times people just get stressed out financially. They just don't have enough money. They work hard and they just can't seem to make ends meet. And they're stressed. Sometimes some people go at it and work two or three jobs. The husband works, the wife works, and then if need be, we'll add, one of us will get another side job just to make the ends meet. And some could argue, well, you're living beyond your means, and that might be true, but that's not for me to judge this morning. I'm just saying that sometimes people get stressed out financially. Sometimes people get stressed out physically. They have ulcers. They have migraine headaches. They are just full of stress. It is a scientific fact that stress, undue stress, over long periods of time will eat your gut out. And sometimes people are stressed out, not only financially, some are stressed out physically, and then some are stressed out relationally. There's stress in their marriage. There's stress in their family. There's stress in work relationships. There's stress in a friendship. They're just stressed out relationally. So, when the psalmist says, "I cried desperately for help, but it's not coming," maybe you can relate to that, but hear me this morning. The Lord, who came as the light into the world, comes to, in that time of great distress in your life, comes to strengthen you. Some of you know this verse by heart, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That word strengthen is an interesting word. I saw this week that it is a word that means to transfuse. You ever had a blood transfusion? Maybe some of you have, and you know the purpose of that. And so I can do all things through Christ, which, if you would, transfuses me, strengthens me. He puts his strength into me, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he wants to strengthen you. He doesn't want you to live life, if you would, all stressed out, all just living overloaded limits and just thinking about, man, I'm not going to make it. Because you might snap and hear the word of the Lord Jesus when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When was the last time you have experienced rest in your life? Physical rest, that's good. But what about spiritual rest? When was the last time you have just entered into a time when you have experienced the Lord's strength? And you, if you would, were at peace. Because that is the Lord at work in your life, giving you strength, giving you peace, giving you great hope. Notice then with me, thirdly, this morning, when surrounded by the darkness of doubt, he guides you. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 in your Bibles, and look at verse number 35. Jesus is speaking here, and notice what he says. In John 12, 35, he says this, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So when you're surrounded by the darkness of doubt, what does he do? He guides you. Because he says here, if you're walking in darkness, you know not where you're going. You ever been there? It may be today that you are experiencing the darkness of doubt. You know that we as God's people have been called to the life of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the truth of the matter is, there's times when every one of us experience moments of doubt where we just lose our way, where we feel like we're in a fog and we don't know which direction to go, and we're doubting ourselves, we're doubting God, we're doubting others, we're just in this fog of doubt. It's not a good place to be, but yet it is a place where sometimes people can get. Go to John chapter 8 with me, would you? John chapter 8, and look at verse number 12. Here's what Jesus says. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is saying there is no need, if you would, for you as a child of God to walk around in a state of doubt. You can follow me, the light of the world. In fact, when you do, you'll not walk in darkness. Now, to be sure, church, there are times you and I, as I touched on this in the adult class this morning, there are times we just don't know which way to turn. But if we will trust, if we will never doubt, if we will give ourselves over to following the Lord, he will guide us as he has promised. Listen to this verse. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this. It says, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is our guide. Let me ask you. Don't raise hands, but just in this past week, how many of you took the time to read God's word? Now, you may have missed a day or two, and I'm not judging you. There's a purpose of me asking this question. If God's word, and it is, our guide and our friend, and we get the wisdom from his word, if I only bring that with me on Sundays and take it home and let it lay on the shelf somewhere and don't go to it the rest of the week, what am I leaning on for decisions? I am leaning on my own understanding. I need the wisdom of God. Where do I get that? One of the major sources is His Word. If I neglect His Word, I'm just going to go on my own way. I'm going to go on my own thinking. And here's what the Bible says: lean not unto your own understanding. So what am I to do? I am to put myself in the Word of God. Am I going to understand every word that I read? No, and I have read it many, many times. There are still times I'll sit there and I'll scratch my head and say, God, what do you mean here? What are you trying to get at here? But there's a lot of it in this book that I do understand, and this book guides me. And the Lord, who has come as a light in a dark place, wants to guide me in my times of doubt. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when surrounded by the darkness of doubt, the Lord comes into your life and guides you. Notice this last point. When surrounded by the darkness of depression, He will change you. Go with me to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I want you to notice a question that the psalmist asked three times of himself. And in the same time he asked the question, he has an answer. Psalm 42, and notice now verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He says the exact words in verse number 11. He says the exact words in chapter 43 and verse number 5. But it starts out, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? You see, depression is real in people's lives today. It's nothing new. You see it here in the life of David, where he had gone through a time of being cast down in his own soul, in his own spirit. I would remind you that this is a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. You would never think a man after God's own heart would ever experience moments of depression, but he did. And lest you're sitting there thinking this morning that you're odd, because if you are experiencing depression, that you're kind of odd, and you're not. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a preacher of yesteryear, pastored a big church in London, England, of 5,000 plus people. Often during every year, he would go through bouts of depression. I'm talking about like 3 months of depression where he would just have to go aside. He got so down in his spirit. Go back even further than Charles Spurgeon, the great reformer Martin Luther. He went through bouts of depression in his life. A man of God, but a man who went through depression. I have a preacher friend who at times has suffered bouts of depression. He is a man right with God, but he will at times go through depression. He even had to, if you would, get medically treated for it. He had an imbalance in his brain, and so periodically he'll take that medicine, and it helps him get over it. Depression is very real. And when you're depressed, you feel like just giving up. When World War II was starting in Europe, the great leader Winston Churchill said, and I quote, "The light has gone out in Europe." And when you are depressed, sometimes that is what your spirit is like. It's like the lights have gone out in your life. You see no hope. You've gone here, you've gone there, you've tried to get answers here, you've tried to get answers there, and you still just come up empty, and it just seems like all the lights are out in your life, so to speak. Again, depression is real. The National Institute of Mental Health reported that 2 million, get this, 2 million work days are lost each year due to depression. And depression is the leading cause of alcoholism, drug abuse, and other addictions. So depression is real, and the psalmist here asked himself three times, why am I cast down? I serve a great God. In fact, he starts out chapter 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What's he saying? Man, I really want to know God. I'm so thirsty for God. I'm so hungry for God. I want to be as close to God as I can be. And he just says in verse number 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And he just knows how great and mighty God is. And yet, he has to ask himself, why then am I depressed? Why am I cast down? Why is my soul disquieted in me? Why? I'm sure glad the Bible gives us the answer, because I want you to notice this, that when you are depressed, the Lord steps into your life and he wants to change you. Get this now. Look at this. Verse 5 of chapter 42. The answer is, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What's he saying here? I have found the answer, that when I am down, when I am depressed, when I, if you would, have had the lights go out in my life, I have found the answer to hope in God, who is, catch this now, the help of my countenance. Chapter 43, verse 5 says it this way, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In other words, my God is the one that strengthens me in the time when I am so down. I don't know where to go. When I am so down, the lights have gone off in my life. Hope in God. Because you see, when you are surrounded by the darkness of depression, the Lord wants to change you. The Lord doesn't want us to just stay down. And the Lord doesn't just want to, if you would, cheer you up. To be sure, he doesn't want you down. He wants you to be full of joy. But he isn't just concerned about you being cheered up. He is interested in about changing your life. He wants to change you. He wants you, as the psalmist experienced, to hope in God and experience him just changing you and strengthening you so that you can experience a stronger countenance, if you would. Look at it this way. When you are depressed, and I don't know if you've ever experienced it. I have experienced moments of it, but not deep depression. But when you are either surface-wise experiencing some depression or deep into it, think about this. Here's what happens. You ever been around a depressed person? They don't smile. They're kind of, so to speak, bent over, some cases physically. They don't want to be around anyone. I remember years ago of a family in the church. Actually, she wasn't part of the church, but her husband was. In fact, all the years, I was here 5 years in this church, she never came once. Never. But I found out why. She was in the deep pit of depression. He said, Pastor, it is so bad that she goes into her bedroom and has nothing but darkness. nothing but darkness. That's how she lives, in a room of darkness. That just sounds depressing, doesn't it? But that was her life. Now, praise God, since she has recovered, since she has come out of that, and praise the Lord for all of that, but I tell you, sometimes what happens when you get in that pit of depression, you just give up. I'm done. I'm finished. That's real. David was there, but David also found the answer. I will look to God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, he said, from whence cometh my help? Because sometimes we can't help each other, but we can go to the one that can, if you would, reach down into the pit of our depression and lift us up and strengthen us and encourage us and help us through the time. Because the Lord has come as a light into the world of darkness. And today it may be that you're surrounded by either the darkness of disappointment, the darkness of distress, the darkness of doubt, or the darkness of depression. I have good news for you, that Jesus is the light, and He can dispel the darkness and light up your dark days. He can do that. And the Bible says this in 2 Samuel 22:29, "For thou," speaking of the Lord, "art my lamp, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." He will lighten your darkness when you can't see through the fog. He will be the light in your darkness. Today, won't you turn to Him? Today, won't you trust Him? Today, won't you let Him do whatever He needs to do in your moment of disappointment? He wants to just guide you and distress and doubt and depression. All of that, He wants to help you through. So today, won't you turn to Him? Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, would there be those here that say, "Pastor, I have and really am in currently in my life some moments of darkness. It could be disappointment, distress, doubt, or depression, or even some I haven't even mentioned. But Pastor, that's where I am today. And I really need to turn to the Lord like the psalmist did and hope in God and allow Him to strengthen me through these times of darkness in my life." If that's where you currently are this morning, would you just lift your hand up right where you're at? Say, "Yes, Pastor, remember me in prayer this morning. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you." Are there others this morning? Anybody else? Several hands have been raised. God sees your hearts. Anybody else while we wait? Say, "Yes, Pastor, that's where I am living right now. I don't want to live there, but I am there. And I would that you remember me in prayer." Anybody else? Anybody else? Would there be those here who say, "Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I want to know Him. I don't know Him as my Savior. I really don't. I realize He came into this world, as you have preached this morning, about being a light. He is the light. But this morning, He wants to become your Savior. Would you today say yes?" I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven, but today I want to know." Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? I'm not going to call out your name, but I just want to remember you in prayer. Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to get it settled. I want to know." Anybody else while we wait? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God's working in hearts. Now listen carefully. With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, there were several of you that raised your hands and said, "You know, I'm gripped by this darkness, whatever it may be. God knows, and you know. But I'm going to encourage you when Tina begins to play here in just a few moments. If it would help you to come, I'm going to encourage you just to come. I'll be glad to pray with you. It'd be a privilege to do so. Because I don't want you, more importantly, God doesn't want you just to stay in that fog of darkness. He wants you to live in the light. I'm going to encourage you just to come. And if you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you can't kneel, just sit here in this front row and just take some time and pray. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. But as I said, I'll be glad to pray with you, but come. For those of you that raised your hands and said, you know, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I want to know. Then I'm going to encourage you as well to take a step. Walking this aisle in this church doesn't save you. But it gives us an opportunity to help you. We're not here to embarrass you by any means. But if you're not comfortable in coming here when the piano plays, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'll remain up here after the service. And I'm going to encourage you just to take a step and meet me here at the front. Say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. And I'll be glad to sit down with you and show you how that can happen in your life. It won't take long. But it's the greatest knowledge in all the world. It's the greatest gift you'll get at this Christmas time ever in your life. Ever. Because this is a gift that cannot be tarnished. It's a gift without end. The gift of eternal life. And so either come when the piano plays or come after the service. But let us help you. Father, these precious souls that have raised their hands this morning, many of them throughout the auditorium, have said they are dealing with some darkness in their life. Would you give them victory in this time in their life? Help them to be much like David, where he said, I had to hope in God. And help them, Father, through it this time in their life. Give them victory. May they begin to see the darkness dissipate and the light come forth in their life, so to speak. May that happen for them. Help them today. For these precious souls that have raised their hands and have said, you know, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to know. Father, help them today before they leave to settle that issue in their life. We love you and we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name.